What happens when the world's most powerful democracy begins to fracture from the inside? Throughout history, Americans have confronted external enemies, from British redcoats to Soviet missiles. But today's most dangerous adversary wears no uniform and carries no foreign flag. The January 6th insurrection wasn't just a riot. It was a preview of what happens when citizens forget that democracy isn't self-sustaining. We've spent generations celebrating our rights, free speech, gun ownership, religious liberty, while quietly neglecting the obligations that make those rights possible. Think of democracy as a bridge. Rights are the steel cables that hold it up, but obligations are the concrete foundation beneath. Without both, the whole structure collapses. This isn't abstract political theory. It's the difference between peaceful transitions of power and chaos in the capital. Benjamin Franklin's warning echoes across centuries: a republic, if you can keep it. We're discovering how prescient that if was. The Constitutional Convention of 1787 solved an impossible puzzle. Direct democracy had failed. Athens descended into mob rule. Revolutionary France drowned in blood. Yet monarchy meant tyranny. The solution? Representative government with power so divided that ambition would counteract ambition. Congress writes laws, the president enforces them, the Supreme Court interprets them. Each gear checks another. Remove one, and the machine seizes. But the original design had catastrophic flaws: protecting slavery, excluding women, ignoring indigenous peoples. Only after civil war and decades of struggle did amendments begin correcting these injustices. Today's debates reveal something crucial: rights inevitably collide. When does bodily autonomy override an unborn child's right to life? Where does gun ownership end and public safety begin? Without shared obligations to navigate these conflicts peacefully, we're left with only force. For over two centuries, Americans took peaceful power transitions for granted, until 2020 shattered that assumption. The defeated president refused to concede, claimed fraud without evidence, and inspired supporters to storm the Capitol. Democracy rarely dies from a single blow. It bleeds out through a thousand cuts. Social media fractures our shared reality. Economic inequality creates separate Americas. Geographic sorting means liberals cluster in cities while conservatives dominate rural areas, each viewing the other as alien and threatening. The result? No shared experiences, no common facts, no agreement on what's worth arguing about. When Judge Michael Luttig warns that we Americans no longer agree on what is right or wrong, he's describing the precondition for violence. Jefferson believed democracy required an informed citizenry, the way a body requires an immune system. Without it, we become vulnerable to conspiracy theories, demagoguery, and manipulation. True civic literacy means understanding how policies affect real lives, distinguishing facts from opinions, and evaluating evidence critically. We're drowning in information while starving for wisdom. Climate change illustrates this perfectly. Global temperatures have risen 1.1 C since pre-industrial times is verifiable fact. We should implement a carbon tax is debatable recommendation. Confuse the two and productive conversation becomes impossible. As Daniel Patrick Moynihan said, everyone is entitled to his own opinion, but not to his own facts. Yet social media algorithms profit from blurring this distinction, feeding us content that confirms existing beliefs rather than challenging them. The digital paradox: information has never been more accessible, yet misinformation spreads faster than truth. Being informed now requires both curiosity and skepticism. Who's making this claim? What's their methodology? What do other experts say? Democracy demands this mental labor. Without it, we become vulnerable to anyone skilled at exploiting our biases and fears. Democracy suffocates in silence. When only 60% vote in presidential elections and barely half in midterms, we let a minority decide for everyone. Local elections draw under 15% turnout, despite controlling schools, police, and daily services. History turns on razor-thin margins. In 2000, 537 Florida votes decided the presidency. In 2020, roughly 44,000 votes across three states would have flipped the Electoral College. Your vote could literally change the world. Yet millions stay home, convinced their participation doesn't matter. A self-fulfilling prophecy that lets special interests fill the vacuum. Voting is just the beginning. Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat. Marriage equality succeeded through decades of organizing. Climate activists force action through sustained pressure. Democracy offers countless channels. Volunteering for campaigns, attending town halls, organizing neighbors, having difficult conversations across divides. Each action strengthens democracy's foundation. Every person who sits out weakens it. Democracy cannot be a spectator sport. It requires active players, not just fans in the stands. Compromise now means surrender. Politicians who negotiate across party lines face primary challenges from purists. Yet America was born from compromise. The Constitution emerged from delegates who disagreed profoundly yet found common ground. Reagan understood this. If you got 75 or 80% of what you were asking for, take it and fight for the rest later. Compromise builds broader support, making achievements more durable. The Civil Rights Act required bipartisan cooperation, giving it lasting legitimacy. Obama's Iran nuclear deal, negotiated without Republican input, was easily abandoned by Trump. Gandhi offered crucial guidance, compromise on details, never on fundamentals. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, Kennedy secretly traded Turkish missiles for Soviet withdrawal from Cuba, a compromise that avoided nuclear war. The art lies in distinguishing between principles worth defending absolutely and tactics worth negotiating flexibly. Modern politics has inverted this. We treat every tactical disagreement as fundamental betrayal while abandoning core principles for partisan advantage. Restoring healthy compromise requires citizens who reward pragmatism over purity and leaders brave enough to explain difficult trade-offs honestly. Democracy thrives on vigorous debate, but withers under personal attacks. The difference between "I disagree with your policy" and "you're an idiot" is existential. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia modeled this perfectly. Despite opposing judicial philosophies, they attended operas together and celebrated holidays with each other's families. Scalia explained, "I attack ideas, I don't attack people." Today's landscape differs starkly. Presidents refuse handshakes, speakers tear up speeches, and social media amplifies outrage while punishing nuance. When opponents become enemies, compromise becomes betrayal. Democracy's ultimate obligation is rejecting political violence absolutely. Democracy offers peaceful channels: voting, organizing, civil disobedience. Gandhi and King proved nonviolent resistance could topple empires and overturn centuries of oppression. Political violence creates martyrs, traumatizes society, and destroys institutions needed for lasting change. Even successful violence breeds revenge cycles and forces victors to govern through fear rather than consent. The January 6th insurrection normalized political violence as a tool, a precedent threatening every future election. Democracy demands commitment to institutions above ideology. When Mitch McConnell blocked Merrick Garland's Supreme Court nomination in 2016, then rushed Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation in 2020, he chose partisan advantage over institutional legitimacy. The result? A court whose credibility has plummeted, with decisions like overturning Roe v. Wade seen as political rather than judicial. Thinking institutionally means asking, will this action strengthen or weaken democracy's foundations? Madison knew democracy required virtue, not legislated morality, but cultivated character. That means supporting candidates who accept election results, ground policies in facts, and reject political violence. It means holding your own side accountable as fiercely as you criticize opponents. Most importantly, it means recognizing that democracy isn't inherited. It's maintained or lost with each generation's choices. We stand at democracy's crossroads. One path leads toward polarization and collapse. The other requires embracing neglected obligations, staying informed, participating actively, compromising pragmatically, disagreeing civilly, and putting country before party. The choice belongs to us.